The definition of the word strategy may be changing at the Department of Defense, and that may not be a good thing. That's according to Frank Hoffman, senior research fellow at the National Defense University. He says the current definition of the word strategy needs to change in four ways and should include some extra tweaks, too. Frank, writing in War on the Rocks, and his views are his own and don't represent the views of NDU. Frank, thank you for coming on the program today. What do you see as the current definition of the word strategy or strategist, and why is that important to start with? Thanks for coming on, as always, my friend.
Oh, great to be back again. Well, it's an issue of both of understanding what strategy is and then what strategists do. And I'm just concerned that over the last few years, particularly the last two conflicts, both the civilian community and the military community have kind of grown apart and really don't know what strategy is anymore. The civilian policy community seems to think that just defining an outcome is sufficient, and that the military community then goes off into planning, very mechanistic way of doing things that they think need to be done. And this bridging function that strategists perform in linking policy with the art of the possible, what military forces and other instruments can do, seems to be lacking. Or we just seem to have a rational, linear, mechanistic view of what strategy is. And I think the civilian and the military communities need to bridge their understanding.
And that's compounded by another point that you make, I believe. You write, it appears part of our problem in applying strategic theory isn't just understanding what it is. We may not recognize or appreciate what strategists actually do. How did that happen, Frank? That seems like something that would stay top of mind among folks who build strategies for a living.
Well, it's not in this article, but it's, you know, I think, embedded in things that Elliot Cohen has written, some other things that other scholars have written. The policy community has gone increasingly into the civilian realm and believes that its role is just defining outcome. And the military community seeks autonomy and doesn't want to be interfered with in its own professional domain. And they have focused extensively on operational issues and what are is more appropriately, you know, in the military domain as planning techniques. And we've gotten in very, very heavily into the art of designing campaigns. And this missing function in between policy and the conduct of campaigns, that what a strategist does, has been left as a vacuum. There's a black hole there where American strategists should exist.
You cite in this piece on War on the Rocks that we have a link to at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth Frank, Army Major Matt Cavanaugh, who keeps the War Council blog. And you write, he decided to promote a discussion about what strategists actually do by laying out a concise but quite potent mission statement. And we have a link to that mission statement. Also, it's in your piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What struck you, though, about that mission statement conceptually, not the words that he wrote necessarily, but just the fact that he wanted to take this issue on?
Well, I think it's really commendable he took on. This is a really young, bright mind. I've been familiar with some of his writings, and I follow his blog, and he's a West Point professor who clearly understands his profession, and he really wants to push the Army back into the strategy community where it has always held, since Marshall's day of World War II, a very prominent role in American strategy development. So Major Cavanaugh put out this effort, which as a professor I would grade as a B-plus or an A-minus effort, to kind of define for his community what it is that they actually do. Now, I thought there was a good first effort, but I really think that, you know, here in Washington we should continue this this debate, because it gets, I think, to a deficiency in here in Washington about understanding what it is that strategy is all about, so that we can again get the civilian and the military communities on the same page, which I think we've just fallen apart, particularly over the last decade shows that. But what I liked about the effort was, you know, getting into a job description and an understanding of the skills and the challenge of doing strategy effectively.
Frank Hoffman, writing in War on the Rocks under the title The Strategist's Ultimate Mission, and his views are his own, not those of the National Defense University or the Department of Defense or the United States government. Frank, where would you like to see that discussion about strategists and the role of strategy go? What would it look like, in your view, a couple of years out from now, progressing in a healthy, constructive way?
Well, there's a number of us, to include folks that I've cited in my piece. You know, Wick Murray, Colin Gray, Linda Robinson over at RANS published a recent paper, you know, citing some of the same issues that we need to regain and restore strategic competence, and that starts with understanding what strategy really is and how to go about it. I think we need to alter the way we educate military officers and the civilian community on what strategy actually is. Some of that will be in military schools, and some of that will be in some of the great civilian institutions like Yale and George Mason and Duke that have very strong strategy and policy, feeding programs that lead to government service. Elliot Cohen runs a great program at SAIS at Johns Hopkins as well. So I'd like to see the promotion of changes in how we educate people, and we get something that's less mechanical, less, I call it mechanistic, but, the inclusion of politics, the challenging of assumptions, the defining of coherent, innovative ways of solving problems, rather than just sort of a lockstep, follow-the-box, checklist kind of mentality, which I think has become a little bit too pervasive.
Is the interaction between the civilian and military strategic communities healthy right now, in your view, Frank?
That's a really excellent question. I believe it is, mostly from the intensity of the interactions that being at war for such a long period of time has promoted. But I still think that there are expectations and differences between the communities, and that the policy community, the civilian community, needs to understand the military more, and the military needs to understand the role of politics and how it interplays in decision making, and so that civilians who are often looking for solutions, in a less mechanical, less linear kind of a fashion, as they search for options, they learn and they make decisions differently than we're taught in schools. And so I expect some change in education to be the strongest element of enhancing our strategic competency.
You write in this piece on War on the Rocks, citing a fellow contributor to that website, we tend to overlook adversaries in strategy. Why is that? And is that a cultural thing that needs to change, or is that something mechanical that can change in the approach of folks doing this?
Oh, yeah. Young Adam Elkus and Elliot Cohen's written on this too. You look at some of the American concepts on rapid, decisive operations, the revolution of military affairs, effects-based operations, and you just never see the understanding that these concepts are being applied against a thinking opponent. We sometimes don't even talk about adversaries. We're designing strategies in the abstract of things we want to do, and it rubs those of us who are trained in the Clausewitzian school to understand that war is a duel of two opposing, clashing wills. And this notion we can design strategies and concepts without a detailed understanding of the opponent, the cultural context that we're operating in, the political milieu or environment, is just sort of an abstract academic way of thinking about a contest.
But all of those things that you just cited are tremendous variables. And so constructing a strategy to deal with a situation in which there are variables like that obviously is tremendously complicated, and in some cases may be futile given that you don't know what it is that you're going to be up against.
Right. Well, it is complicated. And as I tried to make clear in this piece on War on the Rocks, there's some art and science to it. And there's certainly some science in thinking about what it is you're trying to achieve. But to me, the complexity of it is where the art comes in and where the rigorous education of the participants come in. And as they meld diverse views and challenge each other's assumptions and explore options, that they rigorously examine the second and third order effects of some of these things, rather than just assume that we have a preponderance of power and that what we want to have obtained will occur.
And so am I correct then to infer that, based on your comment a few moments ago about the importance of the type of education, that's just reinforced by the concept you just laid out, Frank, it sounds like?
That's right. And I think that very rigorous educational programs of some length, some qualitative enhancements in both the PME side that where I work and also in the civilian world can help bring in these different perspectives and perhaps earlier interventions rather than late in life when the interagency community comes together and maybe at age 30 instead of age 40 like we're doing right now.